This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. The program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And it is a midweek PM hang, or maybe AM. We just try and get through hump day. Worst nickname of all time. Worst day of all time. But we are starting our preparation for week number 13. And that's kind of what we do on this program. We inch closer and closer to the action, and we get more and more focus on the data and the like. We'll catch you up on all the news trickling out here on a very critical Wednesday afternoon. Always have surprise injury notes popping out. We'll also take a look at the wide receiver corner matchups of note. We have five good ones. We have five bad ones. I even went through, and luckily there are a couple of props out. So for the first time, probably, we're going to look at some of these wide receiver corner matchups and compare to some of the lines out there. Like, spoiler alert, CD Lamb looking very good this week. We'll also chop it up with our guy Brett Whitefield of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data. He has been mostly on time with the propage. He's got some props 1-4 tomorrow night, which is actually an over. We are in the throes of November, and I got to tell you, preparing for the final segment on today's show in terms of looking at the totals, not great. We do have two totals here over 50. Got a couple of 49s, which you would imagine we get them every week. But we also have some pretty bad ones here. We got a 36.5. We got a 39.5. We got a bunch of 40s, low 40s. Not a lot of great schematic matchups here for week number 12. But we'll go through all the game totals. And, you know, I'm like 35, 40% into my preparation for the week. We'll go through the game totals and see what we think they mean. For example, Giants-Lions. By the way, we have a Jackson Dart update. 49.5. Why is it so high? Well, I think it's probably because of a very good schematic matchup here for Jared Goff and the Lion wide receivers. So we use these totals and we kind of, you know, survey both teams and try and come up with, all right, well, this total is telling me 49.5. that the Lions are going to have a pretty darn good day. So that's what we have on tap for you today. The program, as always, is sponsored by Better. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge is turned into real cash fast. Download Better at better.app and sign up today. Get a free $10 to play with. No deposit required. And as always, make sure you're getting your prop points on iTunes or Spotify, your prop tunes. Yeah, that's not a thing. Your prop points podcast on Apple, Spotify, iTunes, I guess, whatever. That's Apple. Wherever the hell you get your pods, make sure you're doing that. Another reminder. Well, let's start looking at what is popping here around the National Football League. We mentioned the totals. And dead last on the board, the Browns at the Raiders. I know a lot of people are already looking at the Raider fantasy defense because it's Shedeur Sanders named the starter up against the LV Raiders. Sanders did not look good last week. Now, was he expecting to go out there? Obviously, if you're a backup quarterback, you need to be ready at all times, but that was a pretty tough task there for Shedeur to come in ice cold off the bench and throw to a pretty mediocre receiving core while not running the ball. The Raven defense, they're kind of at full strength. They were smelling some serious blood in the water. He is only 4 of 16 for 47 yards. You know, it's kind of ironic. And on one hand, Jerry Jeudy caught a ball early in the game. And I remember hearing the announcers talking about, you know, because they meet with the teams before these games to prepare. And it was kind of felt like, yeah, they're smart to get Jeudy the ball early because, you know, he'll check out And, you know, I'm like, all right, because Judy had a good game in week 10, but then nothing else really happened of note. And then Dylan Gabriel got hurt, and then Judy was pretty much screwed. He caught 3 of 7 targets for only 21 yards. Sed Tillman did make a good play in that game. I don't recall if that was with Shador or not. Probably not, because he had a long of 26 and Shador only threw for 47. So don't get ready for much excitement. This is going to be a very boring game, quite frankly. And Geno Smith is probably not going to do much himself, because we have Mr. Myles Garrett on the other side, and he basically can't be stopped. And Geno is absorbing a ton of sacks, as we saw on Monday night. In Atlanta, more buzzkills. Oh, look, second lowest total on the board is the Falcons at Saints. Thank God for gambling and fantasy football, because otherwise we would not be watching this game, nor would we care. The Falcons Saint has a total of 39.5. Michael Penix undergoing season-ending knee surgery, torn ACL. So now we are stuck with Kirky Cooked Cousins, who looks like a 50-year-old man out there. No offense. The good news, though, we did get Raheem Morris in Atlanta talking about how he hopes Drake London can play in week 13. God knows we do as well, because we're not going to have much passing attack. We did see a little signs of life from Darnell Mooney. If anyone's a big winner out of here, it's probably Darnell Mooney. The word was that when Kirk Cousins was already employed as the Falcons quarterback, that he lobbied for Darnell Mooney. And that was one of the reasons why I was very high on Darnell Mooney last year. And he did do very well, but it's been a lost year for Darnell Mooney. We don't want to go that deep and dig that deep, but if you had to, there is some chemistry there between Kirk Cousins and Darnell Mooney. No chemistry, by the way, with Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts. I think Kirk Cousins has been a little perturbed by Kyle Pitts. I believe last year he was kind of busting his chops a little bit for being underwhelming in general. So Kyle Pitts, it's over. It was a decent run. For a second there, it looked like he might actually be fantasy relevant, but nope, not happening for Kyle Pitts, not happening for Marv Harrison again this week, per our guy Adam Schefter. He's been ruled out. Appendectomy, who knows? I mean, in theory, you could be like, oh, you'll play next week. No, it's probably a lot more serious than that. I can't even jog my memory bank on these dudes. I remember Burrow had one, but that was preseason. So probably a 2-week injury, I guess. He's been ruled out for week number 12. So Jaguars, they've been hanging in there. Their defense is respectable, but another big day here for Michael Wilson and also Trey McBride. They give up a lot of production to tight ends. Do those Jaguars. The Cardinals also ruled out Amari DeMarcado for week 12. However, they have opened up the 21-day practice window for Trey Benson. Remember him? Been a while. Bam Knight looked pretty good last week, but if Trey Benson returns, you know, I always say, are you back or back? You know, if you're back, maybe you're still not 100%, like probably Khalil Shakir last week. But if you're back after a long layoff, that means you're ready to go. So if I'll look into it, but that would probably be the case with Trey Benson. If he's back, he's probably back, which means he's going to dominate the touches in the backfield. How about this one? Pleasant surprise for the KC Chiefs, who welcomed Isaiah Pacheco back to practice on Wednesday. And look, their passing game had a bad day last week. Got to give credit to the defense, but they had no Pat Surtain yet. Rashee Rice had a bad day. They need to be balanced. Kareem Hunt was okay in the running game, but you're obviously going to be better off with Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield, because they were a little barren there with only Kareem Hunt and Breshad Smith. Jackson Dart, per my guy Jordan Renan of ESPN, we should get him on the show. Good friend of mine in the media here. Good dude. All over it. Plays fantasy as well. He did report today that Jackson Dart is trending toward playing. He is in the protocol, so we'll see about that. I thought Jameis was okay last week. As we know, in case you missed it, Jet head coach Aaron Glenn stating that Tyrod Taylor will start week 12, as we stated yesterday. Can we tailor the offense from Tyler R. Taylor to Mason Taylor. Let's just do that. One other. No, I think we're all caught up here on all the latest news and notes. It is a big day. We did miss one item. The league, the Jamar Chase thing. I guess he's not playing this week. That is another item here. I did have Jamar Chase as a potential matchup on the wide receiver corner matchups, but we had to pull that puppy off. So when we return, we will talk about the remaining 10 wide receiver or corner matchups that stand out to me. I do have some data along with some prop numbers on some of these dudes, five good and five bad. But before we do that and go to the break, we ask, if you think you know sports, do you think you know sports, tough guy? Then it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download Better and pick more or less on your favorite player stats. And if your pick hits, you're a lucky winner. Or maybe not, because luck is a residue of design. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you'll get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Year-round action on all your sports, NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer. Head to better.app, NBA. We covered that. Head to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. And don't forget to use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. Wide receiver corner matchups, looking at data, looking at alignment numbers, coming up with the good and the bad. That's next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Wednesday edition of Prop Point barrels on right here on VSIN. I'm John Hansen. Thanks for tuning in. Brett Whitefield of FantasyPoints.com will join us on the other side. He is, I mean, the guy just exudes football. Like, he is football. He played college football. He is a stat nerd. So, I mean, that combo right there is next level. I don't know many stat nerds who actually played college football, data and all that stuff. It's usually one or the other. You're either some scrawny nerd talking about data, or you're some big bulky dude out there playing. Brett is both. But let's take a look at the notable wide receiver corners on the board for week number 12 in the National Football League. We'll start with the positive. Always like to stay positive. First up, guy we won that prop on Monday night, A.J. Brown, Arthur Juan, up against Deron Bland, who did have a bounce-back game last week. But, hey, and I'd have a bounce-back game if I was playing corner against Geno Smith. So, no great shakes there. No big whoop. So, he's given up 0.42 fantasy points per route run, which is a lot. Now, the number, ironically, the prop's already out. It's 59.5, which I like. However, it's not the greatest schematic matchup overall, even though they're playing a lot of man, and I like A.J. Brown against man. Of course, I had to compare it with the fantasy points projection. They did not look at the line before the projection. Our projection is 59.6. I mean, that's absurd. That's the closest I've ever seen. That's one-tenth of a point separating. So I might not take A.J. Brown, but it's a good spot up against the Deron Bland. Next up, this now in the same game is pretty beautiful. C.D. Lamb, based on the alignment numbers, he's going to see more of Adoree Jackson, the second corner, who gives up 0.34 fantasy points per route run. Sure, you've got Cooper DeJean out there, but we'll get to George Pickens when we talk bad. So I like this prop. It's 73.5. That's really good. That's a good number for CD. It's not the greatest schematic matchup for him. Of course, there's always something that ruins everything, because I'm a guy that I check boxes. I got good and a bad. I got pro and I got con. So I look at every situation. I'm like, let's check here for the pro, check here for the pro. Oh, there's a con. You know, it is just like, I guess, life. It's difficult. There's always something that's a little conflicting here. And with AJ Brown, it technically, we show it not as a great schematic matchup. If it was, then I'd be like, oh, yeah. Wait, we're all in on this one. Same thing with CD, but I like that one a little bit more. 73.5 for CD is a lot more palatable than 59.5 for Brown, because Brown is a man. Yeah, I took his over, despite the fact that he told people three days earlier to cut him or not use him in fantasy. Next up, third on the list, Puka Nacua. We did take that under last week, and that did hit barely. My man caught 7 balls. I just thought 7.5 was a little over the top. I wasn't feeling great about their passing attack. By the way, I'm still not this week. A lot of negative schematic matchups. Sometimes things line up well, and sometimes they line up poorly. That's why we're in the throes of under, and I'm hot and heavy on the unders this week. Spoiler alert. But Puka, I do like the number here at 88.5. He'll see a lot of Zion McCollum, who is generous. Puka is also our wide receiver 3 for the week. We are projecting 87.1, which is, of course, under, but it's right there. I mean, these projections and these lines are pretty sick. But here's one where I think it might be a little bit better. I don't have the prop number on because it's not out yet. But Jaxon Smith-Njigba, we have him as our wide receiver 2, by the way, projected with 6.3 catches for .102. So it's very rare that we're going to project a guy to go over 100 yards. I mean, that's pretty absurd. But if we're going to do it for anyone, it's JSN up against Daryl Baker. And you're like, who's Daryl Baker? I mean, that's right. That's why he's here. He's not terrible. He's given up 0.33 fantasy points per route run, which is not great, but it's not terrible. But yeah, JSN, that's one of the top 5 matchups on the week. And then lastly, on the positive side of things, Amon-Ra St. Brown. He'll see Andrew Phillips, who gives up 0.27 fantasy points per route run. But Amon-Ra, FYI, is in fact our wide receiver 1 for the week this week. We're projecting over at Fantasy Points up against the Giants, 7.1 grabs for 82.8. Don't have a prop line yet, I don't think, but Amon-Ra has been absolutely crushing man coverage, and the Giants they're like top 3 in man coverage. Let's go to the negative ones. It wasn't that easy to find a bunch, so I had to throw in our guy, Kayshon Booty. Not that people are like chomping at the bit to start Kayshon Booty. I don't even know if he's playing this week, by the way, but I only bring him up because, yeah, he is good. I wouldn't consider him this week, though, because of DJ Turner. He has been one of the top outside corners this year, covering number 1 wide receivers. Last week, DK, I think, got a couple, maybe a grab or two on him, but I remember seeing a play where DK didn't do anything, and it was DJ Turner on him. But Kayshon Booty will see a lot of Turner outside, and he's given up only 0.19 fantasy points per route run. Next up, I did list this as a negative. I did kick around the under on Nico Collins, who will see a lot of Christian Benford tomorrow night. Now, here's the problem, though. Benford himself is good. He's been their top outside corner for a couple of years now. He's only given up 0.24 fantasy points per route run. But for whatever reason, number 1 receivers have done well. So I'd be a little worried about Collins. I wouldn't expect a bonanza, but I wouldn't panic either. I went back and I looked. I mean, Drake London, remember that game? Where the hell was Benford then? I mean, Drake London, they couldn't stop Drake London. Waddle, 2 weeks ago, did really well against them. And also Tet had a big game against them like a month ago. So, you know, again, it's just kind of conflicting because I was leaning toward the under on Collins. I was thinking about taking it tomorrow night, but then I look back because I'm doing the research. Oh, that's right. They've been terrible against number 1 wide receivers. Next up is a guy who we won the best bet in week 10, Alec Pierce. However, he'll see a good amount of Trent McDuffie. That's a little scary. The way you beat the Chiefs is you do it inside. They have given up the fourth most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to slot receivers. Meanwhile, they're pretty tough on the outside, and he'll see a lot of McDuffie, who gives up just 19.19 fantasy points per route run. Trent McDuffie is a badass. So is Quinyon Mitchell, who is set to see, I would think, a good amount of George Pickens. Because, you know, when you're playing the Cowboys these days, and I do believe that Dallas has become, and we said this a couple of weeks ago when we said to trade Jake Ferguson, they're going to become very Pickens and CD-centric, basically. But, you know, they're like code number one wide receivers. It's like pick your poison. If you want to take one guy out, who do you take out? That's a good question. It might be George at this point. And based on the alignment numbers, George should see a lot of Quinyon Mitchell, who is a little bit of an eraser. 0.20 fantasy points per route run. Not impervious to giving up plays, of course. No one is, but he's about as good as it gets. The line for Pickens might take the under here, although I'll probably just leave it alone. Because I love George so much, I can't take an under on George. He's too dominant out there, but he is due for a game where he kind of comes up small. And the number is 66.5, which is a pretty big number. And last but not least, we've got Michael Pittman. I'm not a Colt hater, but he'll see a Watson is back. He'll see a good amount of Jalen Watson, who is giving up just 0.21 fantasy points per round. And again, it's not a deal breaker, but I do notice, though, we have for a number of years now, going back to last year, you attack KC inside. They're giving up the, again, fourth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to slot receivers. So I have been underselling Mike Pittman for a couple of years, full disclosure. I'm a big Mike Pittman guy. But, you know, I have to pop out the negative ones, and that one stood out. There's nothing negative about Brent Whitefield at fantasypoints.com. The picks have been rock solid, and he'll join us on the other side. He's got some propage cooking for week 12. But first, by midseason, the lines get sharper and every edge matters. That's where VSiN Pro comes in, giving you the insights and data to stay one step ahead every week. Sign up now and get instant access to daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus our new college basketball betting guide featuring top 50 rankings, features, and season-long prop bets. Start betting smarter today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We've got props for week 12 next year on Prop Points on VSiN.
Watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Wednesday edition of Prop Points continues right now on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, and I, with the help of Michael Cohen, will go to the Progressive guest line right now to bring in our guy, Brett Whitefield, COO of Fantasy Points. Very fancy title. He's at BG Whitefield on the X Machine. We did miss you last week, Brett, but how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. No Shave November. I got this big beard going, so we're rocking it, you know?
Oh, look at that. You know, that's my bad. I never noticed. Like, one time you either shaved your beard and I didn't notice. That's my bad. So, I mean, that's pretty bad. Brett Whitefield shaved his entire beard and I didn't notice, but that's neither here nor there. Let's get into the propage, what you have on the board. And Woodrow Marks up against one of the worst run defenses in the history of Western civilization, or at least it feels that way, in Buffalo. I know you have some thoughts here on Woody Marks. What do you got?
Yeah, so this one's, you know, twofold here. I love the Texans' approach in the run game lately, and I know it hasn't manifested into great efficiency. I think Woody Marks averaged like 2.5 a carry on 18 touches the other day. However, Buffalo is a next-level bad run defense, and what I see on tape is Houston, they love to outflank defenses with motion, and then come back across the formation with either counter or man or some type of pull lead concept. Buffalo has been awful against any type of motion with a man concept coming back the other way, like 7 yards a carry, bad. This is a season-long trend. So I like the way the Texans specifically match up with that run scheme. And then the fact that Woody is out-touching Nick Chubb by quite a bit. I think he's got 32 carries over the last 2 weeks. 18-3 just the other day. This should be a close game too, and I think that's the thing where people are getting a little nervous with the line is, while Buffalo is a candidate to blow out anybody, however, they're not playing their best ball right now. The Texans defense should keep them in this game, so I think it'll be a tight one. I think Marks gets that, you know, 16-18 carries at 4 to 5 yards a pop. He easily clears this prop here.
Any thoughts on longest run, 13.5 for Woodrow? Because based on what you just said, he might pop one.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in it. Buffalo's given up 14 explosive runs their last four games as well. That's, you know, over three a game. So definitely interested in it. I get a little nervous just because that Houston offensive line hasn't created a ton of creases. There's been games where they get into a flow and they can go 5, 6, 7 yards here and there, but we haven't seen a lot of big runs from them yet. So I'm a little hesitant, but I'm in on it. If you want to be in on it.
No. Just throwing it on out there. No, I mean, cause he is, you know, he's fairly explosive. But next up here, at least compared to Chubby, is Rashee Rice up against Indy. I thought Rice was craptastic last week, but hey, guy had a bad day. He dropped like a 22 yarder. This number here, 70.5, I see that you have over on Hard Rock. That's a damn good number here. What do you see with Rashee?
Yeah, playing that Bronco secondary is tough, man. They can shut down anyone. They shut down Brock Bowers the week before, then immediately turn around and shut down Rashee. So the Colts defense is not like that, especially against the slot. They're giving up 94.5 yards a game to the slot on the season. Recently, they gave up over 200 in the slot to the Chargers and 160 the week after that. So they are getting gashed in the slot right now. And I know Sauce Gardner is only going to amplify that because he takes away a receiver on the outside, which means we're going to look to the inside. And Rashee's floor with the design touches also gives me a lot of confidence here that they're going to be able to rock this prop out. I think it's a nice get-right game for the Chiefs passing offense that looked like crap, frankly, against the Broncos.
They did. Yeah, and Isaiah Pacheco back in practice, so maybe, you know, balance it out a little bit, a little healthier offense and all that. We're talking with Brett Whitefield of FantasyPoints.com on the X Machine at BG Whitefield. And, you know, friend of the program, you and me, our guy, Alec Pierce, because we were loving him at the Senior Bowl about 3 years ago, and he's crushing, but I am a little worried about the matchup against KC this week. They've been a little bit more of a slot funnel. I'll see a lot of Trent McDuffie, but you do have an angle on Alec Pierce.
Yeah, I do. Two parts here. One, Alec Pierce is probably the best deep receiver in the NFL, and the Chiefs are giving up a ton of deep receiving, 44.8 completion percentage on deep passes. And what's crazy is Alec Pierce's ADOT is almost the prop. His ADOT alone is 22. So he basically needs to catch one ball at his ADOT, and we're there, right? And he's hit this line, this 26.5 line, in every game but one this season. So I think we're right there. The Chiefs being so bad against the slot, though, they're not playing as much man this year. I don't think anyone's really talked about this. They're down to like 20% man of late. So even though he might see some McDuffie, it's still all going to funnel to that deep shell coverage where I think Pierce can beat anyone in a foot race, any safety in a foot race. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, they have in the past traveled McDuffie, but they're not doing it this year. Also, Derrick Henry. I mean, I have lost my last two Derrick Henry props, and it's frustrating because the hashtag analysis has been on point both times where he got like 20 carries in a win. But this is a different animal against the Jets, who just traded away Quinyon Mitchell. So you seem to be all in on Derrick Henry.
Yeah, so full disclosure, I was 5-0 on Derrick Henry props last season. I'm 0-3 this season, even though the analysis, as you said, has been good. I'm coming back. This is now his time of year. It's November, December.
Right.
This is Derrick Henry season now. The Baltimore Ravens are in a push for this division. They have a chance to win it. Their schedule is super soft. They're on a really hot streak right now. And the Jets stink. And I love my guy AG over there in New York, but I don't think this is an opponent he wants to see right now. I think Derrick Henry is going to run all over the Jets.
I just checked the clock. It's Derrick Henry o'clock. right now. So exactly. let's go right back to the well. It's always Jahmyr Gibbs o'clock. What do you see against the Giants, who've been soft against the run all year?
Yeah, I wish there was a rushing line out for him right now, because I would play that too, full disclosure. However, I'll take the 18.5 longest rush here. The Giants have given up 20 explosive runs over their past four games and 40 on the season. That's wow. That's five a game. Gibbs hits one of those, it's you know, 35 plus. So I think we're good to go here. This one seems pretty easy. This is the Lions really need a nice, you know, get right game coming off of that Eagles loss on Sunday Night Football here. So I think the Giants set up well for that. I expect Dan Campbell to have the offense rolling, and Jahmyr Gibbs has been the center point of that offense now for the past month or so.
Brett Whitefield on the line with us from fantasypoints.com, and I love me some Christian Watson, and you like this over 22.5. I just, you know me, I study people, body language and all that. I set up an interview with Christian Watson at his combine, spent 15 minutes with him. Very nice young man. Not really demonstrative, though lately he is demonstrative. Like, I see it in the body language. He's snatching the ball. Like, he has arrived, I think. So what do you see with Watson?
I am surprised at how amazing he looks coming off that ACL injury. He looks awesome. I think he looks the best he's ever looked. The route running is very crispy, on point. But what's crazy, I was digging deep for this one, John. He's hit this 22.5 longest reception total in 70% of his career games. So, I mean, that seems like really good odds here. It's for it to only be minus 115. The way the Packers are using him right now, too, man, it just seems almost free. Every time I say that, I feel like I lose the prop, but it really does seem free. Right. I know, you know, it's a really good matchup, too, for them. So I feel good about this one. Jordan Love has been going to Christian Watson pretty much in every, like, have-to-have-it situation. So I'm feeling good about this one.
I had a phrase that I popped out 25 years ago. He commands the ball, period, right? Right now, doesn't he command the ball?
Absolutely. I mean, the NFL, they're trying to scheme up explosive plays all over the field, and he is one of the most explosive players in the league. I just remember that his rookie year with Aaron Rodgers, it seemed like every other time he touched the ball was a 50-yard tutty. And that's he looks that good again to me. So I think we're ready to rock here.
And if he didn't catch the 50-yard tutty, he probably dropped it. Yet the hands look a lot better to me this year. I think that man has been working on making those hands a lot stronger. Finally, Cam Ward under 190.5. Seems too good to be true. Seems too easy. But what do you see with Cam Ward? It's a nasty matchup.
Yeah, Cam hasn't played very good lately. He's down Calvin Ridley now for some time. And the Seahawks defense is so nasty. They don't give up anything. They held Matt Stafford to 120 yards passing. And that's in a game their offense turned the ball over four times, and they still held Matt Stafford 220 yards passing. There ain't no way Cam Ward's getting over 195.5 in this game. So that's the analysis there. Yeah.
There it is. Brett Whitefield will follow you on the X machine. I'm feeling a good week here for sure. At BG Whitefield. Great stuff as always. Brett, we'll talk to you next week. And when we return, we'll go over all the totals ranked from high to low, and we'll offer up some thoughts. But first, if you think you know sports, start getting paid for with Better Picks, a daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge is turned into cash. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit needed. When you do deposit, a 50% deposit match can be yours, up to $200. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Head to better.app. Use the promo code VEASAN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. Back in a flash here on VEASAN.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Final segment on a Wednesday. We're almost through hump day. Thank God. Worst nickname, worst day on the board, but we're getting through it, tell you that, and we're doing it by looking at things like point totals that are fairly fresh, looking at them and seeing what they mean and trying to pull out what the books are looking at and considering. Well, let's do it, and let's start out going higher to lower. I will name and list and speak out all the prop totals for those listening without the visual, listening on the radio. I also do have a best bet for tomorrow night that I will pop out. I haven't been tracking it, but I think we've been doing pretty well on the early best bets. You know, I think, wasn't it last week that we did one on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I believe they both hit, but don't want to curse us. I really can't say anything about anything because whatever I say feels like it curses. But anyway, let's get to the task at hand, which is looking at the totals. Number one, numero uno. I was just told or asked by our producer, Michael Cohen, who is a noted Patriots fan. He jumped on the bandwagon. No, just kidding. He is a noted Patriots fan, and he's sticking with them through the doldrums over the last couple of years. And he was wondering if this could be the first week that Drake May exceeds 300 yards passing because, well, we do have the highest total on the board, and it's the Bengals. And my answer was no. That's because you'll probably run for 300. I'm exaggerating a little bit. It is, it's what you want in terms of the matchup for all Patriots, but, you know, I don't know about Bro Flacco, by the way. I think this will be, you know, this will be like minimum 30-20, minimum. Of course, 30 for the Patriots, 20 for the Bengals. But I'm a little worried about Flacco here. No Jamar Chase. Chase Brown isn't running. So this is what we're doing. So let me dive into this. No Jamar Chase. Chase Brown's not running on the Patriots. Now we're down to T. Higgins. Mike Vrabel played for Bill Belichick. What's he going to do? He's going to take out T. Higgins. So I think the total being this high is probably represents that the Patriots are going to crush him, quite frankly. So just trying to read between the lines when we look at the numbers. The second highest total on the board, that was 50.5. Second highest, which is tied, by the way, so it's tied for first. Indy at KC at 50.5. Good schematic. And what did I pull out of this? Good schematic matchup for KC passing game. Bounce back. And look, didn't even confer with Brett Whitefield, and he's in on Rashee Rice. So I think that's what we're looking at. A bounce back for KC. And, you know, not the greatest matchup for Danny Dimes and the Colts, but they'll probably have to keep pace. Third highest total on the board this week, 49.5. Giants at Lions. Giants are trending toward getting Jackson Dart back, but we're not there yet. Why is it high, though? I think it's all about the schematic matchup for the Lions. We do have Amon-Ra as our numero uno wide receiver this week, which is not the case every week. He's not, you know, he could be anywhere from 1 to, you know, 12, 13. But he's one this week because the Giants run the highest rate of man coverage. Goff crushes it. 8.2 YPA against man, and Amon-Ra. You know, there was a time when Amon-Ra wasn't beating man, but now he's crushing man coverage. That bodes well. Fourth highest total on the board, Bucks at Rams at 49.5. This is tied technically. So technically, we have two games tied for number one, and we have two games tied for number two because this is 49.5 as well. Now, I do find this interesting because there's a lot of poor schematic matchups in this game. For example, the Rams run cover three at a pretty high rate, 37%, and Baker's not good against it, 6.32. So I don't know. I don't know what this is, a little too high, quite frankly, because I don't love the Rams, but I definitely like them more than the Bucs because I think we're in a trouble area right now with Baker Mayfield. Now, maybe things will get a little bit better if we get Godwin back this week, but Ibuka's been not as good, and, you know, he's healthy. So I think this tells me that the Rams are going to do well, and that would be Puka, I would think. Number five total on the board is Philly at Dallas. Eagles Cowboys, 48.5. You know, maybe it could be a little higher, but I see a negative schematic matchup for pretty much everyone except for DeVonta Smith. So that'll be interesting. Although I guess the data shows it's negative for AJ Brown, but he's good against man coverage. I mean, let's be honest here. And they play a lot of man in Dallas. That defense was pretty good the other night, though. They really, you get Overshown back, and, you know, and shout out to them for rising above the tragedy and all that. We don't really get into that stuff here, but we're certainly cognizant of it. They did show up on Monday night, but this is, I don't know. I think I'm going under on this puppy, but who knows? I mean, it's the fourth or fifth highest total on the board. Number six, technically, Panthers Niners at 48.5. It's tied with this one too. A lot of ties. This is Monday Night Football. I think I was trying to figure out why the line was so high. And what I came up with was it is actually a pretty good schematic matchup for Bryce Young. And the Niners pass rush is one of the five worst in the league. So Bryce Young actually coming off career game, has he been foiled? Well, pressure, number one. So the Niners, they don't know that much about pressure. So we might have, this is Tet. This is Tet, baby. We're into Tet. I should take a Tet prop now for Monday Night Football. That's what the line is telling me. Next up here, number seven at 47.5, which is still pretty good. Jags Cardinals. Now, I haven't checked if this has been adjusted since the Marvin Harrison news, but I did notice it was a negative schematic matchup for most. So I don't know. I don't know what to think of that one, quite frankly. I guess Trevor Lawrence and Jacoby Brissett are both playing pretty well. Maybe that's it. Just that. They're playing well. Number eight on the list, 45.5. Steelers Bears. I mean, we're down a little bit, obviously, because of the quarterback situation for Pittsburgh. It actually looks like a pretty good schematic matchup, though, for Caleb Williams and the Pittsburgh Steeler receivers. So we might get over here with Mason Rudolph. Number nine on the list, Jets Ravens, 44.5. Maybe half of this will be Derrick Henry. But we do have, you know, and the total could be worse. We do have Tyrod Taylor. I don't know what the books think of Tyrod Taylor. I would personally view him as better than Justin Fields. Number 10, we've got Bills Texans tomorrow night, 43.5. It is a good schematic matchup for Josh Allen, but it's not great for the Houston receivers, so I'm not surprised it's low. Number 11, Vikings Packers, 40.5. It is a horrific schematic matchup for both quarterbacks, so this is going to be a struggle bus, I think, on both sides. Jordan Love obviously has the upper hand with more experience. Number 12, Seahawks at Titans, 40.5. It's mostly bad schematic matchups. Darnold will be fine, but Cam Ward is not doing anything in this one. And then we have the last two. We have Falcons Saints at 39.5. Enough said. Kirk Cousins against Tyler Shuck. Enough said. And then last but not least, Browns with Shedeur Sanders up against the Raiders at 36.5. So there it is. I thought we pulled some insight out of those lines for sure. And make sure you stay tuned, because when we sign off, it is Money Moves here on VSiN with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern. Kendall Valenzuela dives into fantasy football rosters and injury impacts heading into the weekend. Followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 Eastern. And then stick around, VSiN Primetime, Matt Brown and Mike Somich at 7 p.m. Eastern. We do have a best bet for tomorrow night's game, and I do apologize, but every once in a while, if I want to do a catch total prop, I got to do not great odds, but I do think it's a good play. Dalton Schultz under 4.5 receptions. I'm going to read you from last week's article up on Fantasy Points what I wrote about Kate Otten last week. The Bills are giving up the fewest receiving yards per game, 26.9. The fewest receptions per game, 2.6. The tight ends alone with the second fewest schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to tight ends the last 5 weeks. It's worth negative 5.9 points. Cade Otton was on fire. He caught 9 balls for 82. They were playing from behind. Baker threw it plenty, and what happened? He caught 2 balls for 28. So Dalton Schultz will probably get 3, might get 4. Don't think he's going to get to 5. So there it is. That's the first play on the board. It's November, baby. And we'll catch you mañana with a Thursday edition with plenty of props here on VSiN.